Right before I do a course class, my mind goes everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes everywhere. Voices be talking to me. I'm trying to figure things out. I'm setting up. I'm in my mind going, how can I say it? What can I say that will really be an inspiration for us to really go to another state of mind other than the one we use at King Supers? That's my, you know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, y'all, this is officially called the break, the intermission, where we come out of our roles for a minute and we are willing to hear something that's totally different from the way we ordinarily think. And so I'm going to go through a chapter that, if you have the book, I'd like to ask you to read. It's chapter 5. I don't know how long it's going to take for us to get through chapter 5. You might be seeing your grandchildren by the time we get out of chapter 5.
Yeah.
But chapter 5 is the answer to everything right now. And chapter 5 is the chapter that's completely based on understanding the idea of the Holy Spirit. It's the chapter that totally gets you aware of how your God man, how your higher man operates. It defines this other kind of mind that we have at our disposal. It is how you get in touch with the source in yourself. It's about how you get in touch with God inside yourself. This chapter is about how to make contact with home base. Okay, that's what this chapter is about. It's not about the ego. You're giving the ego a break for a minute. Okay? What we're going to talk about now is, well, okay, I understand how the fear and insanity work and how the ego is crazy and projects and all this stuff. Now I need to understand, how does love operate? How does the cool stuff operate? And in order to have everything I really want to have, which is, by the way, is what I want, I have to learn the laws of having it. Does that make sense? Okay, so we're going to jump off into chapter 5. Don't let the religious terminology freak you out. Because I'm going to share with you what the Course in Miracles says that terminology means, which is mind-boggling. Okay, here we go. We're starting off with the paragraph. This paragraph 2 on page 73. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to read paragraph 2 and paragraph 3. Let us start our process of reawakening. Let's start our process of reawakening with just a few simple concepts. Okay, we're going to start this process of waking up with just a few simple concepts. Thoughts increase by being given away. The more we believe in them, the stronger they become. Everything is an idea. How then can giving and losing be associated? This is the invitation to the Holy Spirit. I have said already that I can reach up and bring the Holy Spirit down to you, but I can bring the Holy Spirit to you. I can bring love to you only at your own invitation. Can I bring love to you? I can bring the love down to you, but I can only give it to you when you invite me to. The Holy Spirit is in your... No wonder I hadn't found the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in your right mind.
Yeah.
I knew it was hidden somewhere. As the Holy Spirit was in my right mind. So Holy Spirit is nothing but the love. The loving mind. So the Bible says, may the mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And the Bible uses that statement, may the mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, as a blessing. It's a blessing of the miracle-mindedness. It's the blessing of miracle-mindedness. This blessing asks that you may think as I thought, joining with me in Christ's thinking. Now, if you had a typical experience of the Course of Miracles, you heard me speak English and you heard me say words, but you don't know what the hell I just said. Or you may be inspired by what you just heard. The Course is like that. Either goes, I don't know what you said, or I'm open up. So, let's go back. He says, we're going to start our process of waking up. In order to start our process of waking up, then there's a few simple concepts we need to get clear about. The three simple concepts we need to get clear about. Number one, everything, your thoughts increase by being given away. So every time you give one of your thoughts to somebody, you just increase that thought. Whatever thought you give to somebody, you just increase that thought. And the more who believe in that thought, the stronger that thought becomes. So, for instance, I give you the thought that I feel like I'm insecure and I'm not really a cool person. Okay, I just increased that thought by giving it away. And if you believe that thought, then you are helping to make that thought stronger. First, I think I got a problem. Now you think I got a problem. So I just increased that thought by giving it away. So since you, when you give something away, it always increases it, how in the world can you think giving something away means you're going to lose it? He said, that's the invitation to the same mind. The same mind, the Course called, I love the Course called the Holy Spirit, the same mind. The same mind knows that everything they give away is going to increase, and the more who believe in what they said, the stronger it becomes. And so they know they'll never lose by giving because it's only going to increase what they have. And that's an invitation to your sane mind. Because that's the way your sane mind operates. Your sane mind knows that thoughts increase by being given away. The more who believe in them, the stronger they become. So how can giving it away and losing it be associated? But the Course says it is possible to give away a physical possession and divide its ownership. If you give me your refrigerator, you don't have it. You're absolutely right. So the Course in Miracles is not talking about physical things. The physical things we ask for are just the things we think that are going to give us the experiences that we're hoping for. You want to take me out because of an experience you're hoping for. You came here tonight for an experience that you were hoping for. Okay? So, physical things aren't important. Physical things are just neutral. So don't feel guilty about getting the neutral Lexus. You know what I'm saying? And a neutral trip to Hawaii. Okay, that's cool. But what's important is to know every time we give a thought away, the thought increases. The more who believe in the thought, the stronger it becomes. He said, that's the invitation to the Holy Spirit. Then it says, I have said already that I can reach up and bring, I can reach up and bring the love down to you, but I can't give it to you until you invite me to. That's a deep statement. That is so deep. Now, who is this I who have said already? Well, here comes the scariest part of the Course. Ooh, here we go. Y'all ready? Have you ever had somebody heard a rumor about yourself that wasn't true and you wished you could straighten it out? That's what Jesus is doing with the Course.
Wow.
It's like Jesus came back to correct some misperceptions that are coming down about him. So he wrote the Course through Helen Schuckman to correct our perception of what he taught. That's the premise of the Course. So Jesus was channeled by a Jewish atheist. If that isn't a joke, I don't know what it is. Because this came through a Jewish psychologist, channeled Jesus. And you don't see the joke in that.
Yeah, I do.
And some of the most powerful students of the course that I've ever met in the 20 years that I've been doing this were Jewish. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how many people that are Jewish love the course that's coming from Jesus. But they're afraid to let anybody know it at the ego level. And I understand that. I've been hiding the fact that I'm black a secret for years.
You do a good job of that.
That's what I've seen, you know, everywhere I look is pretty white. So I've come to the conclusion I'm white. Jewish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Jewish and white, and my last name is Purdy Bird.
You have a lot of
hair
too.
Yeah. So anyway, so the course says that, you know, that Jesus is like this elder brother that could help you out because he knows more than you do. So that's what he means by I can reach up and bring it down. Because I used to have my brother do that when I was little. He'd reach up and bring stuff down to me that I couldn't reach. And the course is saying that's the same relationship you have with your higher self. Your higher self can reach up and bring things down to you that you'll never be able to reach just by you trying to make your own way through the world. So he's like saying, do you want me to reach up and bring your good stuff down to you, but I can't give your good stuff to you without your invitation, is what your sane mind says. So a sane mind says, I'm going to give you the best time you ever had in your life, but I promise you one thing, I'm not going to give it to you without your invitation. You're going to have to invite me to give you some joy. I'm not going to touch you. I'm not going to do nothing with you if you don't invite me. But I got it for you. So how many beings in this world may have love for you that they want to give you, but they're waiting for your invitation? Okay? So I'm going to take a moment right here to say, I invite you to bring my happiness to me. I just want to take a minute to anybody else. I invite, you know, hey, come on, bring you. You know, we don't have to say it in unison. Just you got the idea. You know. Okay. So then it says the Holy Spirit, which is your sane mind, your loving mind, that part of you that's still in touch with God. I'm giving the Course in Miracles definitions. The Course in Miracles says that part of you is in your right mind, as that part of you was in my mind. So the Bible says, may the mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, and use this as a blessing. In other words, I want you to have the kind of mind that loves. I want to have the kind of mind that loves. May the mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. May the mind be in you that was in love. May the mind be in you that was in love. Okay, then it goes on to say, that's the blessing of miracle-mindedness. You know, the blessing of miracle-mindedness is may the mind be in you that was also in love. That's a blessing. And the Course says a miracle is nothing but us seeing things correctly. It says if we see things correctly, it's a miracle. Yeah, it says that we see things correctly, it's a miracle. So he's saying, and then we already heard that a miracle is nothing but a correct perception. The Course says that we have a correct perception, it's a miracle. So let's sentence this way. May the mind be in you that was also in love, because the mind that was in you that was also in love is the blessing of correct perception-mindedness. In other words, it asks that you may think as I thought, joining with me in Christ thinking. Okay, I'm asking you to think as I am thinking. I'm asking you to think as I am thinking so you can join me in love thinking. That's deep. I'm asking that you think as I thought so that you can join me in love thinking. I'm thinking love for you. I'm asking for wonderful things to come to everybody in this room, okay? So I would love for you to think as I thought. Join with me in this love thinking. Okay. Y'all join with me in some love thinking. Let me try to figure this stuff out. Join me in some love thinking.
Yeah.
Why are you saying about joining me? Okay. the blessing of miracle-mindedness.
Yeah.
That's the blessing that you have in a mind that's seeing things correctly. Because a mind that's seeing things correctly wants everybody to think like it does in love. Mm. All right. That was two paragraphs. Okay.
All it needs to be.
All right. I'm gonna take a couple of minutes for feedback or questions.
Okay. Invitation. Why?
I'm not gonna try to convince you that you should invite love into your life. Don't try to figure out why, brother. Just invite it.
Yes.
Why is
it's all powerful, though. This is all powerful, right?
I don't want to analyze it, man. I don't want to play no mind games. I'm talking about some real question. No, I don't want to play that mind game. But I got a right to not answer it.
Okay.
I don't want to go there. That's going to take us all into all that analyzing the course. Which one said it the right way? Just say, hey, brother, I want you to join with me in some love thinking. Let's do that. Why should we analyze that? I'm going to make the ego mad. I told you I'm going deep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I would answer him by saying we have free will.
Don't go there.
Okay.
Don't go there.
Okay.
Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go into the analyzation of whether you should invite. Every one of you knows what it means to invite. There's not a person sitting in this room that doesn't know what it means to invite. Don't pretend you don't know what it means to invite. You have done it many times in your life. You've invited people into your life. You invited situations into your life. You even sent invitations out. So you know how to invite. Just do it. Only this time the Course is saying, I invite my sane mind. I invite the voice for love. I invite freedom. I invite peace. We know how to invite. We know how to invite. It's possible that some of you may get angry at me as I do this. It's okay. It's okay. We're going deeper. In order for me to get deeper, you may get angry. I've been doing this 25 years. I can recognize when the ego is getting ready to take us into a place that's going to just delay us for a minute. It'll be entertaining. But when we get through, everybody just be disoriented, confused, and defensive. And that was the whole purpose. Is to get us away from just focus on inviting, which we all know how to do. We all know how to invite. You know what's weird, though? Is that someone has to convince me that I should invite love into my life. Somebody's got to convince me that I should want to join with the idea of peace. So, ideas increase by being given away. The more who believe in them, the stronger they become. Everything is an idea. Okay, so here we go. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to take a couple of minutes for feedback, and I want people to say whatever they want to say, however they want to say it. Okay.
Why would I want to, or why would I continue to invite non-loving things into my life? I can understand why I want to invite loving things into my life, but why do you, if you look back over your life and see patterns where you've invited in non-loving people, places, things?
It comes from subconscious guilt and self-hatred marinated in a little jealousy and insanity and guilt and depression.
She's sad.
And the key word being subconscious.
Yeah.
That's where it comes from. Here's the good news. It's a rumor that's not true about you. And so you're totally innocent. And so what we need to do is we need to give that idea to each other so that it can increase. And then the idea will become stronger and stronger. And then we will experience our innocence together more and more. Would you do that with me? Okay.
What if it doesn't seem like what you're saying is that difficult?
I mean, what if it seems like it's not that difficult?
Yeah. Like it's just the same thing as just what you look for to attract. So if you look for love, I mean, it just seems... It makes perfect sense. I don't see what question
there is. Thank you. Like I said, just feedback. You know, there's no wrong statement.
What she said, when it knocks on the door, open the damn door.
My favorite analogy of all is to me, we are like people who are in a burning building, a guy that's in a burning building, right? And the fireman comes up to rescue him. But he won't leave the building until the fireman tells him how the fire got started.
Yeah.
That's us. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to leave the building until you tell me how the fire got started. I'm not going to do what I could do right now until you tell me how I got here in the first place. So I'm not going to do what I can do right now unless you tell me how I got here in the first place. I could just invite the love to come down in me. But I need to find out how I got to be the person that needed this help. That's what we do. Because our identity is wrapped up in our story. And anything that's a threat to our story is experienced as a threat to ourselves, because we identify with the stories that we tell about ourselves. So even though we may love what we hear, it feels threatening to our story, because it proves that our story is untrue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Course makes our story untrue.
I avoided really following this for a long time because I felt like it invalidated what had come before. As if what had come before was something precious and like holding on to, when what came before was just, you know, nonsense, insanity. And then one day it's like I just woke up and said, oh, I got it. You know, one.
See, you could already see. All you had to do was open your eyes.
Yeah.
See, that's what you know what I'm saying? It's like this is a book in how to open your eyes. And I want you to tell me what I'm going to see before I open my eyes. Because I'm not going to open my eyes until you tell me what I'm going to see. Okay, then the book says, woman, you're going to see love. You're going to see freedom. You're going to see abundance. You're going to see eternal life. And then I go, well, I don't see that. I know it. You got your eyes closed. And then the Course says, what are your eyes closed with? Your eyes are closed with your body. You're so used to looking through your body that you think that what your body sees is all that's there. So there's another whole world beyond what we see, but we don't think it's there because we just use our body's eyes.
Wow.
And when we use our body's eyes, all we see is each other's bodies, which we judge according to whether or not we think we're going to be able to act out our special form of fear with them.
But isn't the idea that we learn to see with our right mind's eyes and bring that back into our day-to-day experiences in the world so that we have a happier
life.
And there's no contradiction between what I said and what you said. This is both of us right. Yes, there is something to be seen beyond our bodies, and yes, we need to bring our same mind back into our physical experience. See, for you, all of us can be right. There's no need for you to be right based on me being wrong, or me having to be, my being right means you have to be wrong, which is the way we play the game. We're entering into a reality where we can all be right, because what you're saying still had the same purpose as what I was saying. It was about healing. It was about bringing something really cool into the experience. I got to bring it from my sane mind into my body. The invitation to the Holy Spirit. That's okay. You cool. The invitation to the Holy Spirit is for me to recognize that my thoughts increase by giving them away, and the more who believe in them, the stronger they become, so I can't lose by giving. So what's going to invite the Holy Spirit is my willingness to start giving ideas that I want to see grow. I have to learn how to see, give ideas that I want to see grow. Yes?
I have a question. Mm-hmm. You mentioned depression, and part of it is, my story is apparently having like bipolar disorder and depression, and so my mind tells me that I would invite love in, except for I need to find the right medication first. I would invite love in, but right now these homicidal, suicidal thoughts are trying to take over my mind, and I'm trying to give them all this power. It's not always the case, but I'm just saying I've dealt with that through the course of this so-called disorder, and it really, at times, tries to rob me of my peace. So I'm wondering if giving it power is what prevents me from inviting love.
Yes. We all are bipolar.
Yeah.
Everybody in this room is bipolar. It's the Course in Miracles, because we have a mind that's split right down the middle. And one half of it is crazy as hell. And then there's another side of it that's genius sane. And we're on the journey across the gap between our insane and sane mind. That's the journey we're on. We're gonna use our sane mind all the time, and when we use our sane loving mind all the time, we'll be seeing our happiness and our joy and our safety and our peace all the time. But I have to know how to tell the difference between how my insane mind operates and how my sane mind operates, okay? But my insane mind is going to defend itself by trying to convince me that all the sane stuff is crazy. And I'll try to fool myself in various ways. But the main way I'm going to use to fool myself and to make myself think I'm not a spiritual being is I am going to totally identify with my physical senses as the only measure of reality. All right. See, I got a hell of a production team. You know, and they work cheap. Since they're not physical, I don't have to feed them. I love having spiritual children. I got many. You know you messed up when they sue you for spiritual child support. But that's where they be getting all of us. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. That's the truth. But we all give our illusion the power. But first of all, we've got to be willing to look at our illusion, because the more you look at it, the less you'll see it. The more you look at your fear, the less you'll see it. The more you look at it, the less you'll see it. I know that sounds crazy, but that's exactly the way it works. The more I look at my fear, and the more I'm willing to admit I have it, the less afraid I become. It's the strangest thing. But when I was trying to deny it because I thought I would become strong, I just kept having things happen to make me feel weak.
That's the opposite.
It's everything that works is the opposite.
Yeah.
Like a spiritual bizarro world.
This is a spiritual. This everything here is just the opposite of the way that it really is. But it's totally the way that it really is here. Mm-hmm. So don't get me wrong, you know what I'm saying? This illusion has a lot of laws that operate as long as we think we are here. And our job is to bring love into this physical reality. So you are to love your physical life.
Say what?
Yeah, I thought the way out of here was like to hate it and kind of get away from it because it's holding me down. My body is holding me back. I need to get rid of it as fast as I possibly can. What are you saying? I'm telling you. The way you become free is through being so happy that you cannot be contained.
I would like to try that.
Yeah. People don't understand that the way you become unlimited is to become so happy that your joy cannot be contained. That you couldn't hold back how happy you were no matter how hard you tried. You like try to be mad, you know. You know, even you tried to be depressed, you just couldn't pull it off. Your happiness could not be contained.
Time for another party, Earl.
As long as you don't make yourself feel guilty at the party.
That's
right. See, because many people use parties to, like, their ego life preserver. And what they do is they go to parties and do stuff they feel guilty about and further decrease their awareness of their spiritual identity and innocence. So the party was supposed to make you feel good, but the party really didn't make you feel good if you made yourself feel guilty about the party. So what's important is, what's the purpose of your party? And what's my purpose for going to this party? Am I going to go to this party and increase my innocence, or am I going to go to this party and just increase my guilt so that when I leave it, I'll be just talking about all the stuff I regret that I did while I was there? Then my ego took me to the party. My ego took me out on a date. How I know? Because I'm afraid I might be, you know, have an STD. And then your spiritual purpose becomes to understand that you're innocent even if you have an STD. You are not it, and it is not you. You're innocent. Thoughts increase by being given away. The more who believe in them, the stronger they become. Everything is an idea. So how can giving and losing be associated? Every time any one of you becomes happy, every one of us benefits equally. I don't have to know you, and you don't have to know me for me to benefit through you. And you don't have to know the people who are going to benefit you. I'm telling you, think about all those Katrina victims that got helped by people they don't even know. That same holds true for each and every one of us. We could be helped by people that we don't know, no matter what the situation is we think we're in right now. That's the way the Holy Spirit works. Okay, chapter 4. I mean, paragraph 4. Yeah. You might need to breathe. Take a breath. I would love it if we would all think in love right now so we can all join in love thinking. Says the Holy Spirit is the only part of the Holy Trinity that has a symbolic function. The Holy Spirit is referred to as the healer, the comforter, and the guide. See, the Course is describing it. So the Holy Spirit is also described as something separate, apart from the Father and from the Son. I myself said, if I go, I will send you another comforter, and this comforter will abide with you. The Holy Spirit's symbolic function makes the Holy Spirit difficult to understand because symbolism is open to different interpretations. As a man, and also one of God's creations, my right thinking, which came from the Holy Spirit, or the universal inspiration, see, that's another name for the Holy Spirit, the universal inspiration taught me, first and foremost, that this inspiration is for all. I could not have it myself without knowing that whatever I have, everybody has. I'll say it again. I couldn't have it myself. I can't have it myself unless I realize it. I can't really have it myself unless I also realize everybody else has it too. That's deep. The one thing we have not been able to achieve here is permanent anything. Okay? So the Course is saying, if you really want to get to the point that you have something for real and you know you'll never lose it, then realize that whatever it is that you have the power to have, everybody else has the same power to have it too. If you want something to be real, whatever you're claiming for yourself, you have to know that it's in everybody else too. And it has nothing to do with whether or not you see it. If you want to have something for real, love that. God, love that. He says the word know is proper in this context because the Holy Spirit is so close to knowledge that the Holy Spirit calls knowledge forth, or better, allows knowledge to come. I have spoken before of the higher or true perception, which is so near to truth that God himself can flow across the little gap. Knowledge is always ready to flow everywhere. But knowledge cannot oppose. Therefore, you can obstruct knowledge, although you can never lose knowledge. You can block your knowledge, but you can never lose your knowledge. So let's take that paragraph. Oh, yeah, I'm finna have some fun with this. So when you call to the Holy Spirit, you're saying, I'm calling to the healer, the comforter, and the guide. I'm calling for my healer, comforter, and guide. I'm calling for my healer, my comforter, and my guide. Got it? He says, and we talk about the Holy Spirit just like it's something that's separate from us. You know why that's so? Because the Course says we're in a world that we think we're separate. So why not present the truth in God to us as something separate too? Because we understand separateness. So he says, if I go, I will send you another comforter, and that comforter will abide with you. His symbolic function makes the Holy Spirit or your same mind difficult to understand. Because symbolism is open to different interpretations. Okay, so why is the idea of the Holy Spirit hard for us to understand? It's because it's a symbol, and so all of us got our own interpretation of what Christ and what Jesus means. So the Course is saying what's making it difficult is the fact that all of us have different interpretations about what it means. When you said the whole idea of God is difficult for me, that's because there's so many different interpretations about what God is. That's what makes God difficult. What makes Jesus difficult is there's so many different interpretations about who Jesus is. You with me? Okay. So, if I want to have something not be difficult, then I need to stop giving it a whole lot of different interpretations.
That's awfully simple.
It's so simple that... our complicated minds won't do it. Our complicated minds won't do it. You know I'm telling the truth. Don't we have complicated minds? Everybody got a complicated mind. Did you bring your complicated mind? Everybody got one? Okay. The complicated mind does not like simplicity. Because its whole self-esteem comes from its complexity. So you, it's like your mind thinks you're putting it down to accept a simple solution. It's like an insult to accept a simple solution. So we complicate it up so that we think we're important.
That's the ego mind.
That's the ego mind.
It's gonna, a raw one line.
It's, hey, I'm going to overlook the simple solution, which is I need to start giving everything in my life one interpretation. It is either love or it's a call for love. There's this one thing happening in my life. Either it's some love happening in my life or it's me requesting it. Is there some love happening in my life or some kind of a call for love? I'm giving everything one interpretation, so it won't be difficult for me to know what to do in every room I walk into. Every room I walk into, I know what I'm going to do before I ever go in that room. I'm going to go into that room, and I am going to attempt to allow the love that I want to receive to be given through me. I'm going to walk in this room, and I'm going to, every way possible, see how I can be a means for peace to whoever walks up to me. I only have one purpose in every situation, so I never have to figure out what to do. And that brings a lot more peace. I'm telling you, try it. Try walking around all day not having to figure out what to do, and then compare that to the way you spend your day right now. And I bet you the part of you that's not figuring out all day is going to win. Because you're going to have the most incredible day you've ever had in your life, and every day is going to get happier and happier to the point that you won't be even tempted to use the part of your mind that would bring you pain. Your peace is going to become so important to you, you're not even going to entertain any kind of thought or person that you would use to take your peace away, because your peace would be so important to you, nothing would come before it.
That's exciting.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
You cannot have it until you know it's for everybody. Now, here's another law. You cannot have it until you know that it is for everybody. You cannot have it for real unless you know it is for everybody. Another law of universal inspiration, he said, the Holy Spirit. So that you can't even receive inspiration from the Holy Spirit until you begin to realize that you couldn't have it unless it was also for everybody. That's why when something goes right for you, then I believe that the Creator could also make something go right for me. That's the way I look at it. When I hear about somebody's prayer getting answered, it always makes me feel like if Spirit could answer that person's prayer, that Spirit could answer mine. See, anything that's real, you can always tell when it's something real, because if it's something real, you're going to automatically believe you ought to have it too. And if you don't have it too, you know it's not real. So you know that that anything that you have all to yourself will end. Anything that you have all to yourself will end. So, in your sane mind, you always want to start sharing things in your ideas that you want to have. Because you realize everything is an idea. And so all you have to do is share the ideas you want to see increase so they can become stronger. And here's the idea I want to become stronger. The idea that I want to become stronger is that anything that I have that's really cool, that's really wonderful, I want you all to also have it too. In whatever form would be best for you. That's what I want. Whenever I'm thrilled, I want you to be thrilled in whatever way being thrilled really thrills you. So I can really have it. I really want to be happy enough to want you to be happy too. That's how much I want to be happy. I'm serious. You know, I want to be happy so much that I even want the people I don't like to be happy. That's how serious I am. Wow. Everybody I don't like, I want you to have a wonderful evening. Everybody I don't like, I love you to have a wonderful life. Everybody I don't like, I'd like you to have the most incredible abundance you've ever experienced. Everybody I don't like, I want you to be healthy and safe and secure. Everybody I don't like.
I like that.
You got to do everybody I don't like prayer every now and then. Everybody I don't like.
Yeah.
Why? So that I can have it all myself. So I can have my happiness myself. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of not having constant happiness. I'm tired of happiness that goes up and down and 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 up and down. Anybody else tired of up and down happiness? Okay, well, there's only one way you can make things stabilize is you have to have a consistent thought. That means you must have the purpose of your peace all the time. That there's never any moment that you don't want you to have peace. People don't want you to not have peace. You got it? The consistent thought doesn't leave any kind of hole or gap that the other stuff I don't want can come in through. The consistent thought doesn't have anywhere for the other stuff to come in through. But if I sometimes want it, sometimes don't. Lack, lack, lack. Sometimes want it. Sometimes don't. Lack, 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 lack. See, that's where it comes from. The gaps that you put in it through not wanting it all the time.
And not wanting it for everyone.
And not wanting it for everyone because you don't like them.
Yeah, I didn't like them. Damn, I didn't like them.
So you got to do, I didn't like you, but I want you to be happy prayer.
You still not like them. You just want them to still be happy.
I don't want you to be happy. Matter of fact, if I don't like you and you happy, you probably might go to Tahiti.
You know what?
You might get even further away from me if you happy. If you was rich, you might be able to fly to the other side of the world. You know, you want them to be rich, even the people you don't like. You want them to be happy. Because they won't mess with you.
I thought I had to like his ass. But I don't.
Yeah. There's nothing harder to do than what you don't want to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's nothing harder to do than what you don't want to do. And if you don't want to forgive them, that's going to be the hardest thing in the world that you ever tried to do. So what I would suggest is, when you see the boulder in the middle of the road, and there's another lane on the other side, and you at a destination that you want to go to, you just go around the obstacle and go.
Yeah.
Go around the obstacle and go. Don't stop. You stop. Wow. Let's get out the car. And let's look at the boulder. We could go around the boulder and just go straight to our destination of our wonderful vacation, but here's my block. Let's all get out, shall we? And then we walk around our block, and then we analyze our block, and then we try, well, how did the block get here? I don't know. You know, when you just could go around your ego, you could go around that hate you have for your mama. You could go around that hate you have for your daddy. You could go around that hate you have for yourself and go right on to your destination.
Why not indeed?
So regardless of what any of us have done in the past, regardless of any of our sins or guilt, I now ask for love to come down through us and in us in our life. And I want you to have it all the time, so I'm going to see you as deserving exactly the cool stuff I see myself as deserving. So it can be real for both of us. try being in a love relationship with a person like that. And that's what we're talking. That's what I'm talking about in this seminar. It's going to be different. It's going to be that regular old, you know, how can I go out to the club and pull somebody kind of workshop. You know, but it'll tell you exactly how to deal with that situation if you were in it.
I heard you, you know. Pull somebody.
Well, you know the ego. You know, it's like, I want to apply these principles in my special relationships that I form with people right now. How do I take this these principles of happiness, and how do I work that into my everyday life and the new relationships that I'm forming, whether they're friendships or whether they're love relationships? How do I get the guilt out, the fear out? How do I really and truly draw another kind of person to me that's different from the other kind of friendships and love relationships that I've had in the past? What would be a truly unique approach that would allow me to have a different relationship than I've ever experienced before with people? That's the goal of Saturday. And I love the idea of having more than, you know, 50 minutes for us to really have a chance to get our ego out of the way, because it takes about an hour or two to get your ego. Really, when this class ends, it ends just about the time that you would be able to hear what I'm saying.
Well, let's go to 9.
It's not time yet. I know, but thanks for that thought. But that's the purpose, like a seminar, so the ego can get out the way, and then we can really hear what's being said.
Looking forward to it.
You know.
I'm falling asleep.
Yeah, the ego has 3 words of advice according to the course: forget it, go to sleep, or die. So I'm glad you chose option 2. I'm so glad you didn't sit up in that chair and die. That would have been even more of a trip. I'd much rather you go to sleep than to die. Because we know we're going to forget it.
I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, well, I don't want peace.
Think of how successful you've been. You know, think of how successful you've been at not giving yourself peace all the time. You're a pro. So you know you do have the capacity to be successful in something that you set out to do. Now all you got to do is take that ability and steer it towards your happiness. Because now you know you can succeed. Isn't that great? Okay, let's take a breath here just a minute. Yeah, I know. I understand. I know, it's horrible to hear. To hear that you're going to be surrounded by people who see you being happy all the time as being the key to them having everything that they want. I would like for us to draw to us people who believe that us having our happiness helps to bring them every single thing that they want. I ask that we draw to us the people who realize that the more they protect our innocence and protect our safety and nurture us, the stronger they will become. I want to invite into our lives the minds that really, really want to see us as innocent, and all they want to do is help us recognize our innocence. Even though we make mistakes, and mistakes are for correction, we are asking to draw people to us who have such an innocence about themselves that they would want to support us in feeling innocent even if we made a mistake. I'm inviting the kind of minds to come into our lives that would never attack us under any circumstances. I'm inviting it. We are inviting it. We don't have to know what inviting means. And things become difficult when we give it a lot of different interpretations. So now you just have one interpretation. Everything in your life is a means for you to experience your heart's desire. Everything in your life is a means for you to experience your heart's desire. Or everything in your life is calling for your heart's desire. Everything in your life is your heart's desire from love. Or everything in your life is a call for your heart's desire in love. One interpretation. Thank you for letting me invite something like that for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I want to acknowledge you for hearing this. And it's okay to feel disoriented. It's okay to feel however you feel. We were just bombarded with love for an hour. And so when it happens, sometimes it feels like your ego will be about to die. It does. It's like your ego feels so weary. It's like, and my spirit's jumping for joy. My spirit's so happy. My spirit seems to feel like in ecstasy. My ego is like, I want some chicken and pizza. You know, your ego, the Course says your ego will always do one thing. It will try to bring your attention back to your body as fast as it possibly can. So one cool thing about studying the Course is that it, one of its side effects is that you enjoy your senses more. You enjoy your senses more. Because what happens is that the more the truth is revealed to you, the more your ego is going to try to draw your attention to your body. So you're going to become much more sensitive and sensual and feeling in your body. Your body will start to feel better and better and better and better as you begin to accept the truth more and more and more. One, because you're thinking correctly, that's good for your body. The other one is because your ego is going to be trying to make you feel so good that you just think you are a body. So you're going to have to pass the pleasure test. The pleasure test is coming, I'm warning you. The pleasure test is coming. When there's something that comes into your life, there's so much pleasure for you that you're going to be tempted to forget everything about the truth that you've ever learned. Because you're going to be so wrapped up in it. So it's going to be your greatest pleasure is going to show up. And your test is going to be, can you experience your greatest pleasure without forgetting who you are? God, what a great test. So, thank you for sharing with me. Thank you for sharing with Unity Temple. I really appreciate the financial contributions, you all. I really do. I teach the Course. And doggone it, you know, God comes through and to me through the love and appreciation that I have for the people that come here and the appreciation that you have for me. So if you really see it as valuable, I appreciate you sharing with me. Sunday, 1 o'clock, I'm going to continue with Chapter 5. I'm going through Chapter 5. Chapter 5, did y'all see the name of the next section? The name of the next section, if it was a triple, we were saying to each other what was coming through us. You know. We have such an incredible level of truth communication with each other. It's so cool. Just like I have with so many people in here. Oh. Okay. I'm going to take 2 minutes for us to just join. And we'd like to do the unthinkable. Let's just be together for a minute. Welcome. You can have it when you know it's for everybody. You can have it when you know it's for everybody. You can have it when you know it's for everyone. You can have it when you know it's for everyone. You can have it when you know it's for everyone. You can have it when you know it's for everyone. You can have it when you know it's for everyone. You can have it when you know everyone can have it. You can have it when you know everyone can have it. So everyone can have it. Whether they're letting themselves have it at this moment or not, whether or not they are letting themselves have it at this moment, they can have it if you can have it. They can have it if you can have it. If you want to have it, believe they can have it. If you want to have it, believe that they have the power to have it. If you want to have it, believe they also have the power to have it. Thoughts increase by being given away. The more who believe in them, the stronger the thoughts become. Everything is an idea. Everything is an idea. Everything is an idea. So how can giving it and losing it be associated? I love y'all so much.
I
love y'all so much. I hope one day we'll let each other feel it. I got so much love for y'all that y'all can't feel. And you got so much love for me that I can't feel. And y'all have so much love for me I can feel. And I have so much love for you, you can feel. And I know you're not your bodies, but they sure are cute.
You got the right perception, honey.
I'll see y'all the next time. You can get the CD of the class and let me know if you want to do the seminar. It's okay to ask for what you want. Just remember everybody else has the power to have what they want, and you can have it for real. Please help me remember that. I need help.